Enemy Radio.
Show 9? Is it Show 9? Apparently it's Show 9. That's what Audacity, the program's telling me. If it's not Show 9, I apologise. Had a weird week. It's Tuesday, the 9th of the 7th, 2013. Had a weird week. Yesterday, I was in court. Not me personally. I was on pub business. Basically, without going into too much detail, about just over a year ago, a guy came into the pub. And he was known to us. And has a lot of issues, basically. And was asked to leave. And didn't want to leave. And basically turned into a big riot. And he destroyed the place. He was picking up stools, throwing them around. Took chunks out of the bar top. Broke all the taps. Went outside, picked up a sign that we had and an empty keg that we had out there and smashed front windows. Basically just mayhem, you know, absolute mayhem. But it's been going on, yeah, just a year and a bit now. And we were finally called into court. We got summons, whatever, last week. Yesterday for our end of it. Now, apparently the guy went on a rampage that day. He was involved in trouble across the road in the Mingle Marquee or whatever you call it, across the road. And then after our place, he went down to I think the Dice Bar and somewhere else, I can't remember. He was in somewhere else and there was trouble down there as well. But basically he went on a big rampage for the day, so we got called in. We met with a solicitor, the whole thing. And we got called in yesterday, went in up early. It was horrible, up at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And went down, had the tin of fruit, had the full suit on. There's loads of us because loads of people got summoned. Went in. Then the guard came up to us and said, "Listen, sorry for wasting your time. We don't need you in there. We were summoned as witnesses, but he was pleading guilty, so we didn't even could have stayed in bed. So yeah, pretty much went home. Went to bed for a couple of hours. That's when you're working a bar, like getting up at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. That's same as a normal person, I suppose, getting up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. It just doesn't, you know, your brain is wired to go to bed late. Went to the zoo after that, because it was her day off. Haven't been to the zoo in years. I'm not going again. I'm done now. The zoo was worn out with welcome. It's like 50% walking, 10% animals, 10%, maybe more, but I'd say 10% shops. Then another 10% vending machines. 10% fucking scumbags and crutches with nothing else to do. Unbelievable. It's just dirtbag families running around. Kids pissing. Fucking vomiting, throwing ice cream at each other. Going in the playground. In the playground in the zoo. You know what I mean? In the playground. Think about that. It cost me €16 to get into the zoo. €16. You know what I mean? For me. And then 16 quid for her. I mean, I don't know what it is for kids. It's probably 10, 11 quid. But like, bring them in there to the zoo. And bring them to the playground in the zoo. When like, there's a big giant playground, the crossroad in the Phoenix Park for free. Every area has a playground. There's people in there sunbathing. Do you know what I mean? Sunbathing in the fucking zoo. So I couldn't get over it. I was running around. It was like, I paid 16 quid. I'm seeing every fucking animal they have in this joint. Literally legging around, sweating my arse off, dragging her behind me. We have to find the monkeys, we have to find the fucking giraffe, we have to, like, every animal I could think of, you know, do they have one? Where's the bleeding manatee? Like, I was running around, like, 16 quid, I'm seeing everything. I don't know if I've seen everything, I was too busy running around, to be honest with you. But I got burnt to a crisp. It's not good. Actually, you know what? That's a fucking lie. I wasn't born to a crisp. I was born. My skin feels all fucking tight and horrible. And I don't know if it's kind of brown. If I got just enough sun to make it brown, or whether that's like a really dark shade of red. It's hard to tell. My legs are fucked because I was wearing a vest. Yeah, like a proper pikey. I was wearing a vest. And so my face is burnt, my neck, the back of my neck, a little bit of my back, my shoulders, my arms are in bits, my legs aren't too bad. Your legs never get sunburned. What's that about? Mine don't, anyway. But my arms never feel a bit fucking dodgy today. I couldn't get over it though. 16 quid for the bleeding zoo. 16 quid. believe the smoke went down. 16 quid, came back then, you know, had our own animal to worry about, the rabbit. The rabbit is, the rabbit's cool, the rabbit's fun. It's, some days it's relaxed, some days it's mad. Depends what room it's in. If it's in the kitchen, it's wild, because there's loads of places to hide. It's fucking, it's just evading you, you know. You have no chance of catching it. If it's in the living room with us here, it's a little bit calmer, you know. It'll jump up on the sofa, you know, sit on you. But for the last 2 days, it's loved pissing on me. It's just pissing on me the last 2 days. We got like cat litter, we're trying to train it. And it's kind of working. You know, it's doing, I'd say, 60-70% of its business in the cat litter tray. But recently, the last 2 nights, it's mad for pissing on me. I'm going through shorts. I had to go out to the car. I had a spare pair of shorts in the car. I had to go out to the car and get these this morning. It jumps up on me and I'm rubbing it. And I'm thinking, you know, she likes getting rubbed. She's getting used to us. Then all of a sudden, just my legs feel warm. And this big piss comes out of a rabbit. Big horrible looking milky yellow piss. It's fucking disgusting. So, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was thinking, mate, is it because like it's really warm? Because you know yourself, it's fucking mega warm. Is it because it's warm and I'm sweating? Or maybe I'm stinking. Maybe she just doesn't like my smell and she's like pissing on me to put her smell on me. Could that be it? I don't know. It's just fucking, it's disgusting. I watched a couple of movies the last week or so. This show is for tomorrow, for Wednesday. But what did I watch? I watched The Purge last night. It was alright. It was better than I thought it was going to be. It was better than I thought it was. But like, the first half of it was great. I liked the build up to it. And then even when it kicked in. But like towards the end, it faltered a bit. I have a feeling that when I was watching it, it felt like a rewrite. You know what I mean? Like that wasn't the original ending to that movie. To me, it felt a lot whoever wrote that movie, whichever fucking screenwriting guy or girl or team, whatever wrote it, I have a feeling there was a different ending to that movie and the studio made them change it a bit. Because like not only was it, listen, it's about the Purge. It's about, all crime is eradicated. And for one night every year, all crime is legal. You can do whatever you want, aside from, blowing up a fucking nuke or something. But, let's put the fiction end of that aside. Let's just assume that that actually happens. And this is a story about what people do when that night during the year happens. Just kind of twisted off towards the end of it. Ethan Hawke is in it. I don't know what it is about actors. I'm just noticing it. The last 5 or 6 years, there's loads of good actors getting involved in roles that don't really have any acting in them. They're just standing there and saying the lines. Now, I don't know whether that's that's what the roles require. You know, is it a reaction to the way these movies are being made, where they're literally just churning them out? There's no big kind of spectacle and no big thing made about movies anymore. It's just something they have to keep churning out to keep people buying movies and watching movies and keeping these celebrities and studios relevant. Is that the case? Or is it a case that all the actors just aren't getting paid as much as they used to be or something like that? And they just don't give a bollocks, they're standing around. Because watching a movie like that, there's untold amounts of fucking leeway for dramatic fucking scenes, and there was very little going on there. All the characters kind of reacted wrong to everything. And I know how people react is, you know, it can go either way. You know, I might react one way to one situation and someone else might react another. But you're watching this movie and you're seeing the way they're going on about it. And you know, people breaking into the house or whatever, and they're like, someone in the house, okay, yeah. When you hide in that room, they'll go and look after it. Instead of everybody in the family being given knives, guns, and fucking set out in a big mission, you know. It was all right. Compared to some of the other show you've been watching, it was up there, you know. What else did I watch? I watched The Fast and Furious 6. I didn't even make it all the way through that, to be honest with you. I don't even know why I watched it. Some movies don't make any sense to me. I don't know what they're about. I don't even know if there's any storyline or anything in it. I was watching this one and The Rock's in it. The Rock is just running around doing what The Rock does, you know. Vin Diesel's in it. standing around saying stuff really slow, the way Vin Diesel says stuff. And then the other bloke, he was in loads of them. It's just lads and cars. I mean, some of the cars are nice and all, but like, you'd have to be a fucking maniac to actually enjoy these movies. But anyway, let's play a song and let's go back to fucking talking show you afterwards. What's the first song I want to play? I wrote it down here. I want to play a Billy Talent song. This is called The River Below. So yeah, Billy Talent, River Below. I never really listened to Billy Talent before until a couple of months ago. And I never knew anything about them. I'd seen the name written around the place. And I used to always get confused with Biffy Clyro. Honestly, Biffy Clyro and Billy Talent, to me, it was just, they were saying, you know, fucking Biffy Talent or Billy Clyro. Or like, it was just, they all just morphed into the one thing. But I got a copy of that album, Billy Talent 1, which is actually their second album, I think. I got a copy of that off somebody. And it's really good. It's really fucking good. I don't even know what type of music it is. It's not punk. I mean, it's not emo or screamo or anything. I don't know, like, what would you call it? It's the fucking alternative rock, I suppose, would be the easiest way to put it in a fucking pigeonhole. I really like it. Some of the melodies are fantastic and the riffs are fantastic. The lads can play, like, to be fucking fair. But like I was talking about, I watched The Purge, I watched Fast and Furious 6. Fucking, what's her name? It was in The Purge. Jesus Christ, Lena Headey. She's in everything now. She's Cersei Lannister in Game of Thrones, and she was in fucking 300, she was in Dread. Like, she, across the board, she must be one of the hardest working fucking actresses in the world at the moment. She's literally in everything new that comes out in the last couple of years. Like, she's in it somewhere. What else did I watch? That fucking White House Down, or what's it called? Olympus Has Fallen. I think I told you about that. Just Die Hard in the White House. I watched the new G.I. Joe Retaliation. Now, that's the second one. The first one was just... like, it wasn't terrible, and it wasn't good, and it wasn't all right. I don't know what it was. It was just G.I. Joe. You know what I mean? It has its own kind of little bracket that it slots into. It doesn't know what the fuck it is. Like, cross between, like, Navy SEALs and Transformers or something. It's fucking lunacy. But then again, it's G.I. Joe, isn't it? It's based on fucking, on toys and comic books. The new one is fucking pretty bad. Pretty bad. I don't know what the fuck it's about. It makes no attempt at trying to be like a self-contained movie. It just doesn't even try. If you haven't seen the first one, then forget it. Don't bother watching the second one. Like, she hadn't seen the second one, or the first one, and I said, listen, we're watching this. And she complained, of course. Because it's G.I. Joe. What girl wants to watch a G.I. Joe movie? But I put it on anyway. And for your own head, don't watch it with somebody else who hasn't seen the first one. Because all you'll do is answer questions about who's that? You know, why are they there? Fucking, who's that to him? Why are they doing that? You know, because there's no like character building in it. It's just, and like, The Rock is in this one as well. You know what I mean? The Rock's just in everything now. And like I said, it's not good, it's not bad, it's not all right. It just has its own thing. It's just G.I. Joe. It's fucking. It's the second one is certainly worse than the first one, but that's not to say that it's, you know, the first one is good. That's the wrong choice of words completely. It's not good. One of the things I've been doing recently, I just I don't know what it is, but I've just been doing it anyway. I've been downloading FLAC albums, FLAC albums, and they're like, it's like a non-lossy format for music. So instead of downloading, say, MP3s, MP3s are fine for like my phone and just kind of quick random arsing around. If you're listening to stuff on the go, MP3s are perfect. I'm not like an audio snob or anything like that, and I'm not quite an audiophile as such, but if I'm listening, I spent loads of money and loads of effort and loads of time building up this really good hi-fi system in my house, and I don't want to listen to music that sounds like shit at its source. You know what I mean? Like shite in, shite out. That's the way of life. So MP3s are designed to be listened to on little headphones, and while you're on the go and you've got loads of background noise, and they're just handy to throw them on, throw them off, and it's just kind of keep your mind occupied. But if you're actually listening to music, like, I'm not talking about just sitting there in a chair listening to music, nobody does that, but like, if you're working around the house and you're listening to tunes, like, and you've got a good fucking hi-fi, you want your source music to be of a certain quality. Now, fucking 9 times out of 10, I listen to vinyl. That's, like I said before, that's my medium of choice. I prefer it. But CDs are handy. CDs certainly have their place, especially if you've got a good CD player, good amp, good speakers. And your CDs are either original or, like I said, they're FLAX. So I've been downloading loads of stuff. I started back when I was like 16, 17, and just downloading stuff that I liked back then, and slowly but surely, albums that I don't own on CD, and I've got loads of CDs, but there's loads of stuff I never bothered rebuying, you know what I mean? Like, I bought them when I was a kid, and fucking, along the line, they got destroyed, they got scratched, they got given away, they got sold, whatever, and I don't have loads of the stuff that I listened to when I was younger anymore. So, I'm going through this stage of downloading all the albums, so, like, downloading the entire Metallica discography. Now, I listened to it once through the other day, and I probably won't listen to it again for years. But I downloaded the FLAX of all the remastered albums. It sounds fucking amazing. It sounds fantastic. Kill 'Em All is still fucking up there. It's so good. Ride the Lightning, so good. They really are. Master Puppets is all right. Justice for All is... I'm going to say it's overrated. Just because... And Justice for All is the album that kind of Metallica fans talk about being like the kind of the ultimate album. I think it sounds terrible, even the remastered one. It just sounds like it was recorded in a fucking shed, and some people like that because it sounds different. To me, it's too tinny, it's too weak. there's loads of top end fuzz on it or something like that. I can't put my finger on it. It just doesn't sound great to me. Black album, Metallica. It is what it is, you know. It was the fucking album that kind of made them as such, pushed them really far into the public eye. Some great songs on it, some fucking shite songs. Everything after that, I've kind of ignored, to be honest with you. I have no interest in Load and Reload. I got them when they came out years ago. They were shy. Saint Anger, shy. Dead Magnetic, a shy. People talk about being a return to form. It's not. They're never going to do fucking thrash metal like the way they done thrash metal when they're in their teens and twenties. That day is gone. Much the same as someone like Green Day, who started off being like a nice little kind of fucking West Coast pop punky kind of band and just turned into fucking Queen or The Who too. Their day is over. Their job is travelling around playing gigs to fucking 80,000 people in the stadium and just playing Enter Sandman for all the fucking gobshites. That's their job now. I downloaded loads of Megadeth. I always preferred Megadeth to Metallica. I don't know why. It always sounded a little bit more true to the form. The new stuff, no interest personally. Every time they release a new album, you hear people saying, "Oh, you know, it's fucking great." You know, so the old stuff, it's not. Like Rust in Peace, and like they're fantastic albums. Even Countdown to Extinction has its moments. That being their pinnacle as such. Some great songs on that. It's one of those albums that even if you haven't listened to it in like 20 fucking years and you listen to it now, you can remember most of the lyrics. That's the sign of a good album to me. What else did I download? I downloaded all the Nine Inch Nails stuff. And I lost contact with Nine Inch Nails after Downward Spiral. And that being the album that got me into it, I think the first one I got was Broken. I think it was Broken. I had it on tape. And I remember the tape had a little warning on it, a warning saying, do not play on a mono hi-fi or whatever, on a mono audio device. And I only had a mono audio device back then, so I never knew kind of how good it sounded. I was listening to it yesterday. It's fucking fantastic. Broken is so good. It's so aggressive. It's different from the rest of the stuff in that it is so aggressive. It's kind of less industrial and more metal, but it's really good. Downward Spiral is fantastic. Again, it might be their most popular. It might be like the one that everybody talks about, but there's a reason for that. Like it is their best. It's perfectly rounded. It has a little bit of everything in there, even the songs that were like Hurt and stuff like that. They're fantastic songs. I know that it's kind of being played out now, Hurt, with the Johnny Cash version of it, but it's fantastic. It really is. Downloaded the best of Marvin Gaye. I downloaded the best of Elton John. I don't give a fuck. You can laugh away. Tiny Dancer is one of the greatest songs ever written. The best of Smashing Pumpkins. No interest in like listening to an album of the Smashing Pumpkins, but give me the best of and I'm fine. You know, give me the greatest hits of a band like that and you're fine. Queen, same again. Love Queen. Rarely I listened to all the full albums when I was younger, because it was always my father's favourite band, and it just kind of got bit into me, and I fucking love Queen, but like the best of will do me now. That's fine. Like they have like four best ofs or something, the greatest hits now. Like that's enough fucking content. That's enough songs. Even getting into the Freddie kind of solo stuff. I downloaded loads of stuff. There's fucking stacks and 40 or 50 albums of all these flacks, and they burned them to CD, so they play in the decent hi-fi player or decent CD player I bought a couple of weeks ago, and they're fucking ridiculous. I have to say they're phenomenal. And because that stereo was kind of old, because the amp and the speakers are old from the 70s, the older the records, the better it sounds. It's almost like they were, like, stuff now was getting mixed and mastered for, like, iPods and kind of portable players and crappy little docking stations. Well, you listen to stuff back then, and it's mastered and it's mixed to be played on, like, a full-bore fucking sound system. It sounds so good. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I got a GameCube. I got some more games for it the other day, but I'm about to find out something recently that the connection on the GameCube, I got lucky. There's on my GameCube there's two outputs. There's a digital and an analog out, and apparently it was only the very early ones that had the digital out, because they found out after a couple of months of it being out in the populace that only less than 1% of people were using the digital out. They were using the analog, which is a normal like SCART cable or whatever. And because these days everybody has like LCD or plasma screens or whatever, you know, the connection, the analog out cable that I have from my GameCube, while it works going into the TV, it doesn't give off a very good picture. It's like ghosting like a bastard. It's all washed out. All the whites are too bright. You can't tell what's going on, and it's very fucking like it's impossible to play basically. So I've been doing some research, and apparently Nintendo released what's called a component cable, which is the closest thing to HD cable you can get for a GameCube. And they only released for like a year at the start, but the things are like fucking gold dust because they're only released for a little while. They only work on a certain amount of GameCubes. They were highly sought after now by people with GameCubes who are trying to hook it up to HD TVs just to play their GameCubes. So they're highly sought after. So this like poxy little cable that's gone for like €150 on the internet for a little cable. Now, Nintendo Wii is backwards compatible, and the Nintendo Wii will play GameCube games. So I'm going to get a loan of a Wii off one of the lads and try it out. But it's still, like, to me, I feel like I'm cheating. I paid money for this GameCube because I want the full proper experience of owning a GameCube, because I never owned one when I was young. So I want the GameCube to fucking work. I don't want to play GameCube games on the Wii. You know, I just don't. Like, I will for the start, but whatever. So I sent off. I was reading online about some people who they got lucky in the game shop. Was it GameStop? Where they went into the shop and they said, "Listen, I've got a fucking GameCube from 10, 12 years ago, and I'm trying to find a component cable for it." And in some places, they actually had the component cables in the storerooms. They just never sold them. The staff might have seen one there. So, Jesus, I think I have one in a box out the back. Out they go. £10, bish, bash, bosh. So I sent an email to GameStop, and they sent me back some false information, the bastards. Like, I would have thought GameStop would know. Basically, they told me that the component cable for a Nintendo Wii works on a GameCube. Now, there's me thinking, well, if I'm fucking reading about all this shit, all these people losing their minds trying to get Nintendo GameCube component cables, and the Nintendo Wii one works perfectly on the GameCube, like, where are they freaking out? So I'm doing some research. Apparently, it's got... depends on who you talk to, because again, I don't have a Wii, so I don't know what the connection looks like. Some people are saying that the console connection is completely different. Other people are saying that it is the same, but it has a little microchip inside it that means it won't work on anything other than the Nintendo Wii. So that's a bit of a kick in the bollocks that GameStop would send me false information as such. But they also said, "Listen, if fucking that doesn't work, go into the shops and ask around, they might have one floating about." Now, and the problem is GameStop weren't really in this country when the GameCube was out, to the best of my knowledge. I could be wrong, but to the best of my knowledge, GameStop weren't in this country. GameWare, alright, but Game have since closed. HMV would have been, but HMV have since closed. So they're not going to have the inventory floating around from back then. So I'm going to chance my arm at GameStop anyway. I'll see. Maybe they had a box of fucking random shit that they sent around or whatever. But I think I'm going to chance my arm and see if one of them does have one of these Nintendo GameCube component cables that are €150 on the internet, but fucking if you can get them. So if anybody knows, you got a component cable, please let me know. A digital component cable for a GameCube, I shall pay you handsomely for it. But yeah, let's play a song. Let's play a Smashing Pumpkins song, just because it reminds me of being a kid. Here we go, Smashing Pumpkins.
The world is a vampire. Santa Drain. Secret destroyer.
Oh,
someone who say what is lost can never be saved. Despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a
Smashing Pumpkins, Bullet with Butterfly Wings. In Cork yesterday, what I found weird was that when you go in, I've been in Cork a couple of times. Once for a dude who crashed into me on a bike, and I was in Cork fucking 4 or 5 times with that. It was fucking nonsense. But they put a sheet on the wall, so you get to see like who's prosecuting the person and what their name is and all this shit and roughly what time their name's getting called. You have to be there for the whole day. They spend like an hour calling out a list at the beginning, which is, you know, Garda something something versus something something person. And they go through all that stuff. But what I find weird is that they call whatever a lad in on drug dealing or fucking robbing a car or stabbing someone or whatever. These lads are showing up in fucking tracksuits and with their crutches. I don't know what the story is. I've talked about this before. Fucking mad lads on crutches. Like, I just don't get it. But lads showing up in fucking tracksuits and like jeans and a t-shirt going to court. Like, I understand most of them don't give a shy. But you talk to anybody who's either spent some time in court or works for the courts, and they'll tell you straight away, wear a suit. It puts everybody on the same fucking page. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you look like the person who's accusing you of doing something, or you're defending yourself against somebody who's accusing you of doing something, look the same as them. Put on a decent fucking shirt, a pair of slacks, and a pair of shoes. Don't have to wear a tie. You know what I mean? You should, but like, look the part. Look like you give a shit about your life. Don't show up in a pair of fucking tracksuit bottoms with tucked into your fucking socks and stand there in front of the judge, you know, like, fucking not guilty, Your Honor, I didn't do it, I swear to God. Like, it's just, you're just reinforcing fucking negative stereotypes. Like, wear whatever you want during the day, you know what I mean, whatever you feel comfortable with. Like, who gives a shit? I don't give a fuck if you walk around in your nip. If you're going to court to have some serious fucking shit dropped on you or defend yourself, look the fucking part. You know what I mean? You get a state solicitor for free. They'll appoint one to you. He'll tell you, the first thing he'll tell you is, go fucking home, take off the night gear top and put a fucking shirt on you. You know what I mean? Like, do you want to be this, or do you not give a shite? I'm assuming half of them don't give a shite. It was unbelievable. There's fucking camera lads outside the courts. I don't know whether they're there all day or whether there's something big going on. It was the big boy court down Park 8th Street. The lads outside are just fucking taking photos of everybody coming in and out, which is weird. And it's just all sorts of security means. Like, you have to go through metal detectors. Is it going on holidays? The belt has to come off sometimes. The shoes have to come off, the whole shebang. One of the lads that came in with us is a carpenter. He had a little penknife in his pocket. They took that off him. They gave it back to him on the way out, which is fair enough. I mean, I'm assuming that they know that, like, fucking, by talking to you, that you're not a fucking stabby terrorist, you know. But yeah, it's so weird, and the way they make you sit outside. Like, we were sitting outside the court with the guy we were being called in to go up against, you know, literally sitting beside him. So it's the most awkward situation in the world. And we didn't even get called in at the end. He was in there on 2 things. I don't know which way it worked out. I know he has to pay for the damages that he done to the pub, because the guard rang us back after the case and explained the situation. So he has to pay for the damages, and I think a few quid on top of that, I'm not sure. We won't know until September. But like, by that stage, it'll be a year and a half that this thing has been dragging out. And God knows if that's the end of it. Like, I know from my other times in court where I showed up, the guy who hit me on the guy who hit was crashed into my car on a motorbike. The first two times I was in court, once he didn't show up, the second time the cop didn't show up. So both times it was struck out, and I was thinking, that's it then, grand. And then I got called in a third time, he did show up. He was a fucking arsehole. The judge and all told him to shut up, but the judge made a bollocks of it and found me guilty. Me guilty. I didn't do nothing. I'm innocent, Your Honour. I didn't do anything. I had witnesses in the car and everything. He was seeing me do everything legally and by the book. Judge got confused, found me guilty, fined me £100. You know, it's £100, whatever, it's grand. But because of that, I got fucking points on my license and my insurance went up and everything. So I'm dubious about the court system, you know, from the get-go, because you might think you have your case 100% and you're talking to people, you're explaining it to them and they're going, oh yeah, I mean, Jesus, you know, if it happened the way you said, then like, what have you got to be worried about? But in the back of your head, especially me after being in court that time for the car thing, like, I can tell you with absolutely no hesitation that it doesn't always go the way you think it's going to go. Like I said, when I was in there, I was there with witnesses and had a great solicitor, the whole 9 yards. And even at the end of it, the solicitor turned around to me and said, the judge made a bollocks of that, man. Like, do you want to go for a retrial? We can apply for to have the whole thing seen again with a different judge. And I was like, you know what, for €100, this thing's been dragging on for fucking 2 years. Like, I'd rather pay the €100 and get the few points in my license and just deal with the insurance thing, because I just don't want to come back here. I have a pain in me bollocks. I just don't trust the courts now. Like, this dude who fucking crashed into me has been found not guilty of crashing into me when I have witnesses in the car who've seen it happen. The guard who was the first on the scene turned around to me on the scene and said, yeah, well, I can see by the way it played out here that, like, this dude is at fault. Like, this dude crashed into you. Like, she's doing little drawings of the layout of my car on the road and where the bike made impact and where the bike ended up and where he ended up. And she said, yeah, I can tell you he was speeding. He hit the side of your car as you were turning into the bus lane after 7 o'clock. You had your indicators on. Your witnesses have attested to that. The road was clear because you had literally 3 sets of eyes looking behind you. All was clear. So he must have been sitting a couple of cars behind you and seeing that it was after 7 as well and decided to speed into the bus lane. And he hit you while you were pulling out seriously slow. The cop measured it. I was a foot and a half. My front left nose was a foot and a half into the bus lane when he hit me. So he was literally speeding on the line, on the divider line. And I thought this was grand. Like, I go in, I just get this over and done with. I don't want money off the dude. I don't want any grief. I didn't claim off my insurance even. I just wanted, like, the dude was all right. I rang the hospital and all. He was in hospital for one night. And I found out his name off the guard. And when he was in hospital, I rang the hospital to make sure he was all right and everything like that. I just wanted to make sure the dude was cool. All my people were grand. I could fix the car myself. I just wanted to make sure he was fine and there was no big fucking issues. And it seemed like everything was fine. But no, this fucking prick dragged me at the court, started shouting at the judge that he was a member of the Road Safety Authority and fucking he knew Gayborn personally and that he thought it was shocking the level of the skill level of drivers on Irish roads today is shocking. And the judge told him to shut up. The judge actually said, listen, shut up. He didn't say be quiet, he said shut up. And it gives me thinking, right, the judge hates him as well, like, he seems to be a bit of a fucking arsehole. But no, the fucking judge got all the facts, got all his facts mixed up and fucking nailed me for it. Wanker. So, like I said, I just don't trust it. So that's why yesterday I was dubious. The cop came up to us just before we were about to go into court and said, listen, I'm sorry for wasting your time. I don't need you in there. He's going to plead guilty. So my first thoughts were, is he pleading guilty so we'll leave? And then when he goes in, he's going to plead not guilty and we're not there to give our testimonials as to what happened that day. And the mad thing about what happened that day was that I was in Galway playing a gig and Kev was in fucking Italy or something like that on holidays, you know? But this dude was going around saying that, you know, Kev fucking locked him in the pub and then I hopped him and gave him the Macho Man elbow off the top bar. Like, he was going around telling people that we actually hurt him in the bar. We weren't even in the country, you know? The guy is mentally unstable, unfortunately. He needs help. But yeah, that's the crack. I'm going to play another song now. I've been shiting on for fucking 10-15 minutes now. I'm going to play a weird one. It's not that weird. Nobody really. I would assume that most people skip by the music anyway. But I'm going to play Supertramp. I'm going to play Breakfast in America by Supertramp. I really like Supertramp. There's loads of bands that I listened to growing up that my dad was mad into. My dad's not even really into music And he's fascinated by Muse at the moment. I don't know why. He's fascinated by Muse. He went out and he bought all the Muse albums and he just plays them on loop constantly. Doesn't matter where he is or what he's doing, there's Muse playing in the background. That's the soundtrack to his life at the moment. It's mad fucking annoying. But anyway, this is Breakfast in America by Supertramp. Supertramp with Breakfast in America. I fucking love that song. I love Supertramp. I don't know. They're just bad enough to be really good. I had a dream the other night about a venue. And I don't know if the venue was real or whether I invented it in the dream. And part of me is thinking that I've actually been in this venue somewhere in Dublin in the past. But I can't remember it. In my head, it was kind of a bit like, say, the Sugar Club, in that I had that kind of tiered seating going down to a stage. And it was dark. All the seats were kind of that crappy, either leather or pleather. It was dark and dingy. And it was like a cross between, say, Eamon Doran. So Eamon Doran's venue used to be in the Sugar Club. It was not quite the size of the Sugar Club, maybe twice the size of Doran's, maybe. And I keep thinking it was up and around fucking Francis Street or something, but I don't think it was. I know it was like the Tivoli and the Lizard, and the Green Lizard and the Baino down there. But I can't, for the life of me, it's annoying me now whether it was real or whether it was fake. Just, it's getting on me fucking, it's getting on me tits now. I'm trying to fucking remember if it was real, if it was fake. Because I had a dream that, we've got Sylvain's fucking New York Dolls playing the pub this Friday. And it's probably the biggest gig that we've had in Thomas House. And it's certainly the most expensive gig we put on at Thomas House. But basically it's a tour in New York Dolls without Johansson. He doesn't want to do this tour, so Sylvain is singing. So we've had it booked in for months and months and months now. And it's like 80 tickets is what it's limited to. It's a tiny gig. Considering the last time the Dolls played here was in the Olympia, and to the best of my knowledge it was sold. They were very close. And I've been dealing with the booking agent. Dealing with the booking agent, like, Thomas House is a small pub. We don't have a backstage room. We don't have a green area or anything like that. And I explained the situation to the guy. I said, listen, it's part of our second fucking birthday party celebrations. You know, this is, you know, we're going to have a couple of decent gigs over the year, spread out over the year as part of our second year anniversary. And this is the kind of beginning of it. And we'll try and make a bit of a hoopla of it. I said, it's a small gig. It's smaller than he's used to playing. And like it's more of a select few. It's for the more hardcore fucking New York Dolls fans. So talking to this guy, and I said, we don't have a backstage area. And the dude freaked out, the booking agent freaked out. He's like, oh, you know, you can't have him sitting at the bar all night. Like, that's just not done. That's just not done. You have to have a backstage area. So now I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. The problem is that I know myself that the booking agents are a different animal to the acts themselves. Most of the time, the acts don't really give a shit. They're like... The Dolls could, you know, arrive in at 4 o'clock to load in, sound check, and then probably just go out for a walk. You know, they'll walk around the city for a couple of hours and come back in for like 9:30 to play their gig. And then when they play their gig, they pack up and they fuck off. So it's very rare that they'll sit in the backstage area. Then we go back there after the gig or whatever. They hang out for 30 minutes and just catch their breath again. But like, part of this deal is that we want people to be able to interact with them. We're paying big money for this band to come over, so I don't want them hiding in the backstage area. I want them out there signing autographs and like getting photos taken and stuff like that. That's part of the deal. So it's going to be interesting come Friday to see how the band react to not having a backstage room and not having access to somewhere where they can kind of hide. They're going to be in the public eye from the get go. Now, I don't think I'm going to open up downstairs until the gig is about to begin anyway, to be honest with you. So, like, pretty much they can hide out downstairs if they want. And I could probably cordon off the back bar for them or something. I'll figure something out. But it's going to be weird to see how this whole thing plays out. Because I had the dream the other night that they were playing in this venue that I either invented or remembered from when I was young. And they were absolute arseholes. So, I'll have another show due on Friday that you won't get to hear. You'll hear it on Friday, but I won't have anything to do with the Dolls. And next one then is obviously next Wednesday. If I can, I'll try and get time to grab a hold of a couple of the lads in the band and have a word with them. I can't promise that it can be difficult at the best of times to get a hold of people. Astro Martin is back from fucking science land, so we're going to be sitting down and doing this fucking special Enemy Radio, talking science with him. So this should be fucking interesting when we get around to that. He's back now. I'm meeting him tonight, actually. I'm working a shift in the pub. It's, what is it, 1:55 now. So I need to get my skates on. Doors open at 5:00. I need to wash myself. I need to go and buy some after sun. Can you buy after sun that's also sun cream? Like, I'm burned now. Like I said, not massively. But I'm burned now. But I'm going back out. You know? Is there any way of like protecting me skin while getting rid of the horribleness of the sunburn at the same time? So I'm wearing a vest and shorts, and I'm fucked up and putting the jumper on. It's too warm. So that's going to be an interesting one. I'm going to play another song. I'm going to play the band called The Bruisers. And Bruisers was the band that Al Barr, the now singer from the Dropkick Murphys, was his kind of, one of his original bands, The Bruisers. They would be, I suppose you consider them like an American Oi band. An American Oi anyway is a weird, is a slightly odd genre of music. It's rare to find a band that it works with, you know. Like, Oi is most certainly a British fucking thing. Don't get me wrong, there's Irish Oi bands, but I think the fact that the whole thing kind of evolved out, like the pub rock scene, the glam scene, doesn't lean well towards Americans trying to do it. Like, you got bands like Stars and Stripes, who are basically Slapshot under a different name, because that's the music that they like, and they rarely do gigs. Seems like a one or two records. I actually don't even own one. I don't own a copy of it. I know fucking Shay from Hardcore Times has all that stuff. I must get them off him and copy them, because I don't know if they're good. I've heard them once or twice, but not enough to actually have an opinion on it. But I really like this song. This song's called Intimidation. I think it's a re-recording of the original recording. So this one's called Intimidation 97. Obviously recorded in 1997. But you can hear the fucking that Dropkick Murphy's growl from Al. But yeah, this is it. This is The Bruisers with Intimidation 97.
inside, these are my friends. Now what are you gonna do? Go ahead, try to put us around. I'm gonna feed you back and blue. We don't take any shit that's respectful. Next to you, yeah, you. Simulation is a game where two can also play. For me on in the battle, I'll show its use. Gonna pay. Take a ride in the thing we're on, where time will surely tell. Never give in, we'll keep on fighting. I'll shove you down to where you will. Simulation is a game where the bruises are, yeah, we're gonna put it in. Simulation is a game where the bruises are, yeah, we're gonna put it in. Simulation is your game, bruise all, yeah, we're gonna put it in. Simulation is your game, bruise all, yeah, we're gonna put it in, but the same. You can see that spin on my face, but I won't run from you. That's right, this is all my friends, and now what are you gonna do? Go ahead, try to put us around, they're gonna beat you back and through. We don't take any shit, us best from next to you, yeah, you. Simulation is your game where two can also play. We are in the battle, I don't need to choose. Gonna play. Think a ride if we're wrong, where time will surely tell. We'll never give in, we'll keep on fighting. I'll shove you, tell you where you will. Simulation is your game where the bruises are, yeah, we're gonna put it in. Simulation is your game, bruises are, yeah, we're gonna put it in. Simulation is your game.
So that's the Bruisers with Intimidation 97. And we're nearly done here today. I don't really have that much kind of weird stuff to talk about. I'm thinking about doing a little bit, maybe half a show on what's called the Minnesota Iceman at some stage, just because it's kind of a funny, interesting story. Basically, it works out to be a fake Bigfoot slash Neanderthal that is stored in a block of ice that's been doing the rounds for like 30 or 40 years that recently reappeared in someone's fucking garage. Somebody had had it for years. And there's millions of fucking stories relating to this thing. It's an amazing tale, you know. So I might do something on that recently. There's also a Black Panther spotted in Louisiana, but I mean, that's, it's not really that weird. That's just someone who had a Black Panther and let it loose. That's about it, really. I've not with our news. The plan is to try and record Friday's show maybe tomorrow, but I've got deliveries tomorrow and I've got a meeting with the Voodoo Lounge people, so it could be Thursday before I actually record Friday's show. Like I said, I'm going to have my gear with me on Friday for this Sylvain's fucking New York Dolls gig. I'll have the recording gear with me, and if it works out, if the lads are nice and they're interested in it, I'll certainly sit down with them for 20 minutes and have a yap. I don't know anything about the New York Dolls, to be honest with you, really. I'll have to learn a bit, won't I? I've heard New York Dolls music, but I don't know anything about them. I know they're old and going years. They're like the ultimate kind of support band. I know Morrissey took them with him a few times. Morrissey used to be part of the leader of the New York Dolls fucking English fan club or something like that, and he wrote a book about them. Morrissey wrote a book, I believe that shit. Apparently Morrissey won a court case against fucking Channel 4 or something like that for the use of a Smith song recently. He won €10,000 off him, and he donated it all to PETA. Fair folks, you know, whatever he wants to do with his money. Anyway, this is, I'm going to play last song leading us out. This is a New York hardcore band who aren't really from New York, but anyway, not my favourite hardcore band. I don't really get them. I don't get why they're so popular. I played a couple of shows with them before. They don't really talk to me, to be honest with you. I'm not going to say they're not nice, but they didn't really talk to me. It's H2O. It's difficult. Rusty, the guitarist, was sound, actually. He was bang on. He'd sit down and just talk shite with you, you know. The rest of them are a little bit standoffish. Toby, in particular, just done his own thing, the singer. Just no interest. Talked to his missus more than talked to him. But anyway, yeah, this is a Universal Language by H2O. And I'll talk to you in a couple of days. See you after. Power, I said it's music, not a thing about. Go
told you it was too sad. When you act that way, did you see? You see the wrong fucking language. Language I don't know. Music, never be above.